Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. This is The Breakfast Bite on this Monday morning, the 31st of August, 2020. Spring is almost here. Andrew Mays with you for the next 25 minutes to bring you up to date on the latest in the world of sport. Let's start with the footy from yesterday. And the Pies have just about secured a top eight berth with a comfortable four-goal win over Carlton yesterday.
So these two clubs have been playing each other since 1897. They've played 258 times. There's been four draws. But with the Pies winning, they've won 127 apiece.
And in the later game, geez, this was ugly for North Melbourne. A 63-point loss to the Gold Coast Suns. It could have been double that.
But the final siren sounds. They've got something cooking, the Suns. The Suns are rising. 12-19-91 for North Melbourne. 4-4-28. And maybe headed for their worst ladder finish in AFL history.
And last night in the A-League Grand Final, heartbreak for Melbourne City after Ryan Grant gave Sydney FC a 1-0 victory in the 100th minute. He did this. A record-breaking fifth A-League title for Sydney FC. We'll have the fallout from what was an epic grand final next on The Breakfast Bite.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Stacks to come as usual on a Monday on RSN. The Breakfast Club returns with Half White in Rama after 6 a.m. Matt White will join them from Mitchelton Scott. Looking forward to getting his update from France as the tour kicked off over the weekend. The early mail before 7 o'clock. Then Jimmy Bartel for the Monday footy review after 7. Darren Cahill, Australian tennis coach who's over at the US Open, will join us after 8. And Christian Welsh from the Melbourne Storm after they had a pretty solid victory yesterday as well. So a chock-a-block morning on the Breakfast Club. Don't forget Racing Pulse from 8:30. All the fallout from a massive weekend of racing. What a story it was. Behemoth in the Memsey on the weekend. Brilliant to see some fantastic social media videos going around as well of Sam Lyons as well, who organised the syndicate. Brilliant stuff over the weekend, and don't forget the verdict from 9 o'clock. And then RSN Central with Gareth Hall, speaking of dissection, he'll go through everything. Footy with Brendan Goddard and Glenn McFarlane from the Herald Sun, and then dissect everything across all three codes of racing. Looking forward to what David Gately had to make of the weekend as well. Let's start the Breakfast Bite, though, with the footy from last night, and we'll hone in on the Blues and the Pies after Collingwood ran out 24-point winners over Carlton at the Gabba, 10-12-72 to Carlton 7-6-48. The Blues not kicking goal in the second half. Let's have a listen to Nathan Buckley. First of all, on Chris Mayne, who suffered a massive hit, had to go off after colliding with Patrick Cripps.
Mayne's going to hospital. He's probably fractured cheekbone, but that's the early diagnosis. But he was, he was knocked out. So, that's the second week in a row that we've been out here that a contest of his has been really crucial in the flow of the game. The bloke just continues to put his body on the line. His teammates love him. He's not in a great way at the moment. So, he's a sore boy.
He also had this to say, fairly pointed in the press conference last night, Nathan Buckley responding to a news article published a couple of days ago.
I know there was an article in the paper the other day, I don't want to make it all about me, but about emptiness. I just want to put on record that my life is very far from empty. Like, I don't have a flag, but I'll be working towards it. But it's not going to define me, whether I get it or not. My life is very full. I'm very fortunate. I had a lot of love and got a great club and great group of boys, and I'm looking forward to whatever the next couple of months brings.
Nathan Buckley speaking there after a pretty solid victory from the Pies last night. Very solid final quarter, kicking 4-0 to make it 5-0 in the second half. They run over the top of the Blues, whose finals chances look all but over. In the later game last night, a 63-point win for Gold Coast. Then kick so poorly, it could have been a whole lot worse for North Melbourne. 12-19, 91 to the Roos, 4-4, 28. North Melbourne not kicking a goal after quarter time. It was a shocking performance from the Kangaroos. Let's hear what Reece Shaw had to say after another pretty devastating loss.
Wasn't good enough. It's not an acceptable performance. That's what it is. I think the only thing that can really happen now is what the response is, really, because that's essentially where it sits. I'm a bit at a loss, really. I think it's this week's going to show a lot and tell us a lot about what they want to do. It's really difficult now to sit here and tell you the ins and outs of what happened and what didn't happen. A lot didn't happen, and that's just what it is. It wasn't good enough, and it's not acceptable at this level. This is it's a tough competition. You got to rock up every week and perform, and if you don't, you'll get found out.
More footy to come later in the breakfast bite. Let's head to the A-League Grand Final last night. Devastation for Melbourne City, conceding an extra time goal. And that was the only thing that separated Sydney FC and the Citizens last night. Ryan Grant scoring on 100 minutes. The winner there, and Melbourne City unfortunately not able to answer him for the remaining period of extra time after it was locked at nil all. After 90 minutes, yet another A-League Grand Final going the distance. Let's hear from Ryan Grant. He was a pretty happy man on Fox Sports after his goal.
Yeah, it was nice. Maybe a little bit lucky with it, but I thought, you know, put the keeper off with the chest rather than the head, and it looked like it worked. So, yeah, happy days. Yeah, no, we didn't start great. We were a bit shaky. We couldn't get the ball on the deck and play football. And credit to City, they started really well. They came at us in that first half. But I think going into the break, we sort of took that as a restart. That second half, we were a little bit better again. Was probably not at our best, but that's a grand final. It's a bit end-to-end at times and a bit cagey, I suppose. So we just had to ride that out and then make sure when we got our chances, we took them. And thankfully, we got that goal and then held them out. But City were very good. We just got a little bit lucky, I reckon.
Five times now they have lifted the A-League trophy, Sydney FC, and Steve Corica, who took over from Graham Arnold, has now coached two championships in two seasons and continued the run of form from what Graham Arnold had developed. So he's going to go down with one of the best coaches in terms of his record of all time. Here's what he had to say post-match.
I thought we were playing really well in that second half. We were dominating, and it was to continue what we did in that second half. We were fit up. We played really well, but I thought Melbourne City as well were excellent, especially first half. They really put us under pressure, so congratulations to them. Congratulations to this man here as well, mate. He's like the Energizer Bunny, man.
Ryan Grant there, the scoring the winner. And Steve Corica pretty happy with his right fullback, who also plays for the Socceroos. So Sydney FC with another title. It has been an incredible three seasons for them. Just a little bit of news to bring up to date with from the US as well. Some reports out of the bubble. Of course, the US Open, second major of the year after the Australian Open earlier in 2020, was due to start in a couple of hours' time. But incredible scenes over there where Benoit Paire, French tennis player, inside the bubble, seems to have tested positive to COVID. So more on that to come, I'm sure, with Half Whitey and Rammer after 6 o'clock as that story develops over the next couple of hours. But, yeah, that's an incredible story developing there. A positive test inside the biosecurity bubble at the US Tennis Open. So hopefully they've been taking every precaution, and each player and their camp have been isolated from each other. But we'll keep you up to date with that through the morning. Let's head to a bit of supercars from the weekend. Nice work by Scotty McLaughlin. Another win, another weekend in the supercars for the reigning champ of last year.
Scott McLaughlin, Shell V Power Racing. He's had to battle this weekend and he's clawed his way back to the top for a race victory in race number 21.
Here's what he had to say post-win, Scotty McLaughlin.
Great start for us for next week. So, yeah, happy to get the start. It was an awesome battle of Cam. He was fast. So, got a little bit of work to do, but, really happy. Proud of everyone at Shell V Power Racing. Continually working hard. And to get a win on a tough weekend is a great thing.
Let's head to the NRL now. Nice to have some familiar names back in the Storm lineup. Captain Cameron Smith made his return, and also good to see Cameron Munster out there as well. They demolished Manly. This could have been a whole lot more too. 30 points to 6 at Sunshine Coast Stadium. No, they were outstanding yesterday, the Melbourne Storm. They solidify their spot in second on the ladder after the victory. They're just 3 points behind Penrith, who are on top of the table. But the key part is they've got a game's break on Parramatta and 2 games on the Sydney Roosters, who round out the top four at the moment. In terms of Manly, well, that just about ends their season. They're now 6-12 with a points differential of minus 114, sitting in 12th on the ladder. They're three games behind Cronulla, who are in 8th spot at the moment. Let's hear from pretty devastated Des Hasler after another loss for the Sea Eagles.
Our execution of skill and our choices around execution with the ball, it's just not up to standard, you know. And it was poor again today. Now, you just can't be turning the ball over on a tackle one, three times on a try line from a scrum. It's just not up to standard. And particularly against a side like Melbourne who just strangle and who just thrive on possession and controlling possession and controlling the field position. And, yeah, look, it's no doubt about the intent and the commitment and the effort, but it's more than that.
Before we head to the ad break, time to catch up on a bit of cricket news from overseas. Trent Woodhill, in his new role with the Australian team, he spoke to the Breakfast Club, actually, last week. If you want to catch that, rsn.net.au, or check it out via podcast. He spoke about David Warner and whether he might just start focusing on the short forms of the game in the next year or so.
Mentally, he's as strong as ever and as bullish, pardon the pun, but bullish as ever. I haven't been given any indication that he's not hungry for more runs across all formats. Yeah, David worked really hard after the Ashes to regroup, and he came back firing. And watching him back the other day in the trial match, he's in a really good place with his cricket.
And 2 games in the Super Netball yesterday, the Queensland Firebirds were able to hold on against the Thunderbirds. Here's the closing 15 seconds. Fifty-four to 53, the final score. Meanwhile, the West Coast Fever 80 defeated the Sunshine Coast Lightning 56. So a bit of a shellacking there. In terms of the ladder, the Melbourne Vixens doing it nicely, 7-1 after their first 8 matches, sitting top of the table. The Swifts in second. They've won 6 matches for the season. Lightning in third after 5 wins. And the Fever round out the top four with 4 wins for the season. The Magpies on the bottom of the ladder after just 1 win through the opening 8 fixtures. Time for a break on RSN. On the other side of this, we'll catch up on everything that's happened overnight in the world of sport, plus some live golf on the PGA Tour as well. It's 14 to 6.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
And at just 19 years of age, Rasmus Højgaard wins for the second time on the European Tour.
Rasmus Højgaard. He might not be a name that you know at the moment, but learn it quickly because he is going places. 19 years of age, second win on the European Tour. Since the restart, he's finished second, sixth, third, and now he's won the UK Championship overnight on the European Tour. 19-year-old, he'll play in the US Open, and he is one to watch, that's for sure. On the PGA Tour at the moment as well, plenty going on in this final round. Dustin Johnson has come out of the blocks. If you remember, this time last week, he was heading towards 30 under. Well, he's 2 under through the opening 3 holes, and he's 3 under the card. He now has a 2-shot lead over a number of players at 1 under, including Neiman and Matsuyama. In terms of the Aussies, we'll be watching Adam Scott through the morning. He's even through his opening 5 holes, 1 over the card. He's just 4 off the pace here, Adam Scott. So still within striking distance. Hopefully he can find a little bit, and hopefully he can get inside the bubble and play in the Tour Championship next week, the season-ending Tour Championship, which is nice and lucrative as well. So good luck to Adam Scott. I'm sure the boys will be all over it over the next few hours, and then Gareth Hall after 10:30 this morning on RSN. Let's head now to the Tour de France. This started over the weekend, finally. Been delayed a month or two from its normal position in the European sporting summer, but it did finally get underway, and here's how Stage 2 finished, courtesy of SBS.
350 metres to go. Here comes the peloton led by Luis Leon Sanchez.
The Spanish champion is chasing. Yates is leading out. Alaphilippe is waiting. Hirschi is playing with a cold head and a warm heart. It's Yates who leads. Alaphilippe, the peloton breathing down their neck. They could be caught.
Van Avermaet goes.
So too does Alaphilippe. Hirschi responds. Yates tries to stick with him. Alaphilippe, he does it again. It's Alaphilippe who was bold. He holds on surely. Hirschi, Alaphilippe, just.
Julian Alaphilippe, the Frenchman, takes stage 2 of the Tour de France overnight, and in doing so, the yellow jersey. Adam Yates, as you heard there from Mitchell and Scott, finishing in third position. So well done to Adam Yates. Most of the peloton finishing just 2 seconds behind, so no damage done for many of them who couldn't quite catch the breakaway and held on all the way to the finish line a little earlier this morning. Let's now head to the NBA as LeBron James turned it on yesterday as the Lakers closed out their series against the Trailblazers, 131-122, winning the series 4-1.
LeBron James, what a pass. Oh, what a setup for Anthony Davis. LeBron James just threading the needle, his 10th assist of the game.
So that playoff series done and dusted. A little later this morning, we'll have the Mavericks and the Clippers. The Jazz will play the Nuggets, and then tomorrow the Thunder to take on the Rockets. So still plenty of playoff action in this first round, and then we'll head to the conference semi-finals a little later. In fact, there has been one game already today in the conference semi-finals. Boston, the Celtics, 112 over the Raptors, 94. So they lead that series 1-0. There's going to be plenty of funny fixturing going on over the next little while in the NBA. Let's head back to the main news from yesterday. In case you're just waking up, the A-League Grand Final played, and Sydney FC claiming their 5th title with a 1-0 victory over Melbourne City. Unfortunately, the dream couldn't come true for the Citizens, but a fine season nonetheless. Those two teams clearly the best two in the comp for the season. And in the footy world, a comfortable win for the Pies in the end. A 4-goal victory over Carlton. The final score, 10-12-72 to the Blues, 7-6-48. Let's hear from David Teague after the loss.
Probably a little bit frustrating. There were some really good signs at times, and then at other times we couldn't finish our plays. The second half, to Collingwood's credit, they got the game on their terms, and we didn't play it the way we wanted to play it. They started to win the contest. That was probably the biggest difference. I think we won the contest in the first half. They won it in the second half. Oh, we still got the ball inside 50, so some of our ball use and our connection going inside 50 needs to get better, and we need to improve. It's a tough one to swallow, full stop, in the sense that we probably didn't play our way for 4 quarters, and that's what we came here to do. And Like we said, we saw some signs early that were good, but it shows we've got a lot of improvement still to go on. Our ability to maintain that and be consistent with that and make the most of it when we are on top in the contest, we need to make sure we're making the most of it in front of the scoreboard. Leaves us ready to compete in 4 days' time against GWS, and that's what we'll do. We'll prepare for that, and we'll put our energy into, we'll do a quick review and learn from this, and we know we've got a lot of areas to get better at, and we'll hopefully we'll have a chat about it. We probably won't train too much this week, and we'll be ready to go against GWS this week.
They've got to go 4 from 4 now, the Blues, to make the finals, and they have Brisbane in the final round, but the biggest hurdle at GWS is just on the horizon. Let's hear from Nathan Buckley on the rivalry yesterday. He spoke post-match after the 4-goal win.
Yeah, and we felt it leading into the game. You know, I think we were really looking forward to the contest. I mean, obviously there's a bit of spark around the fact it's a Collingwood Carlton game. I was hearing from mates of mine that I didn't even know Barrack for Carlton. You know, over the last couple of days, they were looking forward to the game. They thought they were going to go well, but I'll be getting back to them in the next 2 to 24 hours.
Nathan Buckley there speaking yesterday. Not very good mates if he doesn't know which footy team they go for. Stuart Jew, let's hear from him after Gold Coast absolutely demolished North Melbourne last night. A comprehensive victory, though it could have been a whole lot more. A 63-point win in the end, but they kicked 12 goals, 19 the Suns. Here's Stuart Jew.
And we've been working towards a game like this. We have 31 shots to 8, so... You know, a lot of things to like. You know, particularly, we spoke about it three-quarter time, being 34 points up and making sure we got the right habits to finish the game off. So I think 9 shots to none. That was a really pleasing part. But our effort and shape around the contest, we wanted to play really quick tonight. You know, that exciting brand of footy that we've shown in parts. But we want to keep having a crack at it in the real game. So... You know, we've been able to train it a little bit this week, which has helped. Just a bit of a reset and some things, and yeah, it was good. Playing the way we want to play is really important to us. And then, if the byproduct of that is we finish higher on the ladder, that's clearly the goal. But you know, we want to make sure that we're, you know, again, we want to make sure we test some teams and try and knock some over as we get towards the end of the year. We want to hit the end of the year with momentum. So. We've ticked this one tonight and then obviously reset again for next week.
So a break tonight from footy, and then tomorrow Hawthorn will play Adelaide, and then West Coast face Essendon. So a couple of, especially West Coast and Essendon, big game there tomorrow night at 8:10 p.m. as the next frenzy continues until the end of the season. Just a bit of other footy news coming through yesterday. Charges laid by the MRO after the Saturday games. Matt DeBoer was charged with misconduct against Nat Fyfe. $500 for him. Lockie Keith from the Giants, $500 for him for wrestling. Matt Taberner, also $750 for wrestling. Toby Green just copped $1,000, which is pretty much spot on considering how that has been adjudicated through the year. And Charlie Spargo was charged with rough conduct. That's the dangerous tackle that he laid against Nick Caulfield. $1,500 for him with an early guilty plea. But good news for the Giants. Toby Green free to play against the Blues later in the week. Let's hear from Chris Scott. He spoke on Channel 9 yesterday about the return of Gary Ablett. When, what, how and why? Here he was speaking on the Sunday Footy Show.
It's a long way out, so we'd need to wait a little bit and make an assessment on how he's going, how the team's going, all those sort of things. But I think at face value, you know, we would probably play him. Yeah, I think it's fair to say that's the plan at the moment.
And now to John Worsfold. He got asked, as he always does, will Chuck Dano be right for tomorrow night?
In terms of his workload going forward, yeah, it's hard to plan that. We've got main training today, so we'll see how he's feeling when he does the, you know, it's not a big session, but it's a session that he needs to get through like every player coming off short breaks. We need to assess how they've pulled up after they get through today's session. So we're monitoring basically Joe's overall, well, all players' workload in these shortened games, what it means backing up off 5 days, and what it means going forward. So if he fits into the criteria of being available, then he'll play. If we think that's okay, you know. So, but if there's any concerns about him backing up off 5 days, it's going to have any impact on his long-term footy, then we won't play him. So it's a pretty straightforward equation. We've got a lot of measures we'll be going through, and, you know, we certainly won't take it lightly whether we select him or not. But we won't hold guys out from playing if they're ready to play, and it's not going to take any risk with them going forward.
There we go, John Worsfold speaking over the weekend. No risk for Joe Danaher. Hopefully, for footy fans, we see him tomorrow night. That's it for the Breakfast Bite. The Breakfast Club returns after 6 o'clock. Half wide in Rammer to guide you through your Monday. Then Racing Pulse with Michael Felgate and RSN Central with Gareth Hall. All part of a huge Monday of dissection of what happened in the world of racing and sports. Stick around at 6 o'clock.